This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least three times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Veneria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Veneria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
So the president says, you just watch, we're going to have an economic boom. Boom. Like a boom. Good boom. And the Sunday shows gushing over the left's hatred for Elon Musk. Crazy times, man. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. There's a lot more to this Biden cover-up story, the AutoPen signature story, all of it that's coming out. And we will get more details for you as time goes on this. But very happy to welcome back to the show on this Monday, Bill DeAgostino. Bill is with the Media Research Center and newsbusters.org. They do great work over there. And he's on X at @band_Bill. And he joins us every Monday to look at some of the craziest stuff that's in the media. Hello, Bill. What's up, my man? Did you have a good weekend?
Yeah, pretty good. I'm sorry for a bit of the redness that I got going on. I think I ate something that I wasn't supposed to, but life with allergies, I guess.
Well, Bobby Kennedy's going to take care of that for you. He's going to get rid of all those food dyes and additives, and there's going to be no problem, so don't worry about it.
That's right. I'm waiting. Yeah. I got to put a photo up of him in the fridge or something so I can have police me when I'm feeling like a midnight snack or something.
There you go. Exactly right. Well, we'll get you out of here so you can go take a Benadryl. But let me ask you this question. This AutoPen story that's been really breaking here, very explosive story about Biden using the AutoPen. I mean, this is a big deal that goes to the heart of the cover-up of Biden's cognitive decline. There was a time that former President Biden admitted to Speaker Johnson that he did not remember signing an executive order pausing liquid natural gas exports. You remember that, for example?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Although my understanding is that at that point, he was basically just a rubber stamp. And I'm pretty sure that he was told that he was signing something different and just didn't bother to read it because he trusted his aides. I think that might have been a bit of a heist on the president. Although at this point, who knows, right? And the fact that he's not even aware of what he's signing kind of proves your point. It's that he's in such cognitive decline that he's basically just a yes or no man. He's not determining any of the policy himself.
And the question, though, is did they even ask him? You know, or did they just go around him? And the problem with getting you the truth of that, though, of course, is, as I would see it, you have a lot of people who would invoke executive privilege. Biden wouldn't remember whether he gave them the yes or no on it anyway. So, I mean, really, unless somebody came forward and said, yeah, you know, we did this stuff without the president's knowledge, in which case then they'd be admitting that they made a federal offense here, created a federal offense. We're probably never really going to know.
Yeah, isn't that a crazy thing? We're probably never going to figure out who has been running the country for the last 4 years, because it was probably just a bunch of people doing what we heard in that story with Mike Johnson, right? Just kind of passing their own pet policy ideas across Biden's desk, and he would just rubber stamp whatever they put in front of him. And so,
yeah,
I mean, I don't think there's any way to figure that out with an investigation unless people start talking, right? And why would anybody talk? They would all just point a finger at each other then. So yeah, we'll probably never know. It's sort of remarkable.
And then the question that I was asked today was, well, Tim Walz is out there saying we didn't do enough interviews and we were a little too careful and everything. I think they had to be for a big part of the fact that somebody like a Joe Rogan would have pushed Kamala Harris on when did you know that Biden had lost his friggin' mind. And now we find out it goes back to as far as 2019, 2020 on the campaign trail. Right. They were hiding him. So, I mean, a good long form interviewer who was determined to get to that, not the woman who hosts the Call Her Daddy podcast, but somebody who actually really wanted the truth on that. I think that's really why they had to hide her and script her and control her so much, was because we're talking about what I think is the political cover up of our time.
It absolutely is. That is definitely the political cover up of our time. Although, honestly, it's kind of hard to know what is a cover up and what's just a conspiracy theory at this point, because everything starts aging into truth. Right. So like everything at the FBI, whatever. The point is, I'm kind of impressed with their ability to rewrite history as far as the Kamala campaign goes, because they intentionally hide her, like you were just talking about, out of necessity. And then once the election is over and they've been completely shellacked, they turn around and say, oh, you know, we really should have done more interviews. I think we should have given the press more access. And it's like, I'm sorry, are you just forgetting why you needed not to?
Yeah, right. Right. You can't have it both ways here. You know, you can't spend $100,000 on a set for the Call Her Daddy podcast, but then turn around and go, oh, we should have put her out there more. No, you put her out there. It was just were people that were going to be friendly and kind to her, like Howard Stern and local radio shows that were just so thrilled to have the vice president on. They would agree to do scripted questions and give the questions in ahead of the time. But she was out there. It wasn't like she really wasn't. She just wasn't doing challenging interviews. I think that's the difference.
Exactly. And some of the friendly interviews still turned into challenges for her because she was so terrible at fielding literally any question, right? I mean, everybody remembers The View. That was probably the most catastrophic answer to a question in a presidential campaign I've ever seen. Would you do something different than Biden? And she just pauses and goes, no, I can't really think of anything. And it's like, okay, that was the easiest softball in the world to distance yourself from this administration's disastrous record. And you flub it, right? And so Sonny Hostin now goes down in history as the person who asked the most damaging question to the Kamala Harris for president campaign. And that definitely wasn't her goal, but she gets to enjoy that while trying to sleep at night, I guess.
Yeah, it's very, very true. No doubt about it. All right. So, Bill, speaking of all of this with the cognitive decline, you put together a video for us last week showing everyone in the media during the Biden years insisting that there was only so much he could do to close the border. So give us a little detail on this.
Yeah, sure. So Trump, we used Trump's State of the Union address as or I guess not technically State of the Union address, but whatever, address to the joint session of Congress as the news hook for this, where he mentioned that border crossings had been virtually eliminated. I think they're at the lowest point in recorded history since we started keeping track of them. And he said, you know, everybody said I couldn't do it. Turns out we just needed a new president. And I kind of wanted to prove that with these clips, because everybody was saying, as you just mentioned, that Biden's hands were tied, that you need Congress to do this, because there's this tendency among both Democrats and the media to conflate immigration law and border security policy. And those are really two different things. If you want to change immigration law, yeah, absolutely you need Congress. But if you want to enforce border laws already on the books, no, you don't need Republicans or Democrats in the House to give you permission. You just have to tell ICE to stop processing people at the border and start deporting people. Right. And it was the most maddening gaslighting that they did over this. But so I wanted to remind everybody of how absurd the lie was.
And the gaslighting thing, and let's cue up cut number 27 here. The gaslighting that this administration did on everything, from the border to the president's state of mind. I mean, it really, it's like we all just got out of a very abusive relationship. It's really what it feels like. We were so lied to and told that we were crazy. And it's like, you find your lover in the sheets and you're like, damn it, I knew it all along. I wasn't crazy. Right. That's what it feels like to America right now at this point. All right, cut number 27, Sean.
Republicans keep saying Biden doesn't need Congress. He can stop what's happening at the border all by himself. Can you fact check that for us? Because we here all know that's not true.
Republicans have been saying, largely wrongly, right, because saying that the president can close the border unilaterally on his own. The president actually doesn't have the authority under law to do that.
There's only so much President Biden can do with executive action, and he did try to do whatever he could.
They actually are doing everything they can.
The president's hands are tied. There's only so much that he can do.
President Biden has issued certain executive orders, but there's only so much he can do within his purview.
What an intractable problem this is for the president with no easy solutions.
No easy solutions here.
There are no easy solutions here, folks.
The president insisting there's only so much he can do without Congress.
How much can actually be done quickly without Congress acting?
How would this happen without the power of the purse, without Congress getting involved?
They need Congress to act to fix the broken immigration system.
This cannot happen without Congress resourcing this.
There's only so much a president can do with his pen and his phone.
Bill, well done putting that together, that mashup. Excellent job.
Thanks, man. Yeah, no, I still get mad watching it, even though I just made it a few days ago. It's so preposterous, the lie. This, they've done everything that they can. They're trying so hard. And the journalists are glad that he's not, right? Like, they know that they're lying. There's so many levels of mendacity to this. They know that they're lying. They know that the Biden administration was flooding the border as much as they possibly could. I mean, hell, they were flying people in, right? Intentionally. People from outside of the country. I remember when it was a scandal when you flew illegal aliens who had already gotten into the country, when you flew them around the country, right? And dispersed them. They were flying them in to begin with. Insanity. But it's very clear from all of their coverage of the border, especially under the first Trump presidency, that the journalists were very happy that this was happening. Right. Because any border, border security, border crisis, whatever story was always told with the illegal aliens as the protagonists.
Right. Right.
The only worry was, are we getting them enough blankets? Are we getting them enough free food? Are we processing them and letting them into the country quickly enough? That was always the goal. Right. And so when they say, when they turn around and say, oh, yeah, the Biden administration is trying so hard, guys, it's like, first of all, no, he's not. But second of all, you're thrilled that he's not. This is what you voted for.
Yep.
Right. I mean, even promised this during the Democratic debates. He said, step one, flood the border.
Bill D'Arecito is with me from the Media Research Center. It's great to have him on the show. You guys also put out something that you found this morning on CBS this morning regarding Dylan Mulvaney. And this is pretty interesting, too. This is a clip of Dylan Mulvaney on CBS Mornings where he's now on his book tour, claiming he's the victim after ruining Bud Light. And let me just say for the record that Shane Gillis is a hero, because without Shane Gillis, I think Bud Light never would have survived. I think he and probably only he had the ability to bring it back somehow to save it after this fiasco for them. But let's take a listen to this gushing from CBS this morning.
Me now that I've lived through it.
Mulvaney says she never wanted to be an activist, but has found herself navigating a society that's not always supportive of trans rights.
On his first day in office, President Trump signed the order which recognized two sexes, male and female. When you heard that pronouncement, what did you think?
It didn't change any way that I think about myself, because I'm a woman no matter what my passport says. We are not hurting anyone. We're less than 1% of the population. Mm-hmm. And the way that they speak about us so often is as if we're like taking over cities like Godzilla. We're just being our authentic selves.
The Trump administration has also tried to ban gender-affirming care for people under the age of 19. A federal court has blocked that for now.
And what do you say to those who do question gender-affirming care, believing that it could be irreversible and lead to problems later in life, even cause regrets?
I don't have the lived experience of a trans child that was able to seek out that care, But I ultimately do believe that parents know their child better than a government does. We should let those families figure out what is best for them.
So then, Bill, it goes from there to The View, which is a clip you found of Whoopi Goldberg interviewing Dylan Mulvaney. And I tell you what, for people that make up less than 1% of the population, they certainly find a way to take up like 99% of what everybody talks about. It's really amazing how they managed to do that.
Right. Yeah. I always laugh when I see National Trans Day of Visibility. It's like, you are the most visible people on the planet. It's insane.
Right.
It's insane. And you listen to the way Dylan Mulvaney talks there. He's so much of the language is this like boilerplate leftist academic stuff, like lived experience and where it's just it's so filled with buzzwords that the guy can't even form a coherent thought. It's remarkable.
It's like
very
me saying, you know, I don't care the fact that I'm unathletic and I'm weak and I can't fight anybody. I'm Batman. Okay, I don't really care what people say. Right. I'm Batman. I mean, it's that freaking crazy is really what it comes down to. It's like, I don't care what my passport says. I'm a woman. Okay, I mean, if you live in that world, then you could say you're anything. I'm telling you, Bill, I am fragile. I'm dealing with this foot in the thing now for 4 months. If I were to fight crime and fall off a rooftop, I would die. There's no way I could do it. But I could say I'm Batman. I don't even have the pants. I don't even have the hockey pants. I would just say I am. What the hell? Who's going to stop me? All right, here's Whoopi Goldberg. Cut 29.
Yeah, her friend. It went from female to male and is competing with other males.
So Gavin doesn't have a problem with that.
Well, I think part of the problem that the trans community is facing, and it's the same problem that women face, is if you don't know anything about our bodies, you don't know how it works. Mm-hmm. So when you come in and you say, oh, you know, these are men, you know,
competing against women.
You're assuming that the women are weak and just can't do anything except be here. Have you seen female athletes? They know what they're doing. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure what's going on or why this is an issue. The same for me as when people say, oh, you know, I don't know how I feel about you. You do. God doesn't make mistakes.
No.
And the challenge is not to the trans people, it's to the people who are not trans. That's what God is looking to see how you treat people.
Yeah.
That's what is happening.
Absolutely.
So I was just curious as to what I liked your answer.
Thank you.
All right, Bill, give me your take on that from Newsbusters Media Research Center.
I mean, the line that stands out to me is God doesn't make mistakes.
Right.
Right. Like, okay, so then Dylan Mulvaney is supposed to be a guy, right?
Right.
If he doesn't make mistakes, right? Like, if he was supposed to make Dylan Mulvaney a woman, then he would have. But beyond that, this, it's really mind-boggling because I think that I believe her in this clip, right? Like, I think that she's being genuine. I don't think that she is pretending not to know that countless women have had their gold medals, blue ribbons, whatever, taken away from them by male athletes who identified as women and then invaded their sport and took all of the accolades for themselves, right? I think that she's genuinely so insulated that she's not aware that that's happening because she says, I don't get why this is a problem. You know, female athletes know what they're doing. Of course they know what they're doing. That's not the point. The point is that men naturally have about 40% more upper body strength than women in addition to many other physical differences, right? And testosterone is considered a performance enhancing drug. And that's why the Olympic Committee doesn't even let quote unquote trans women take too much of their HRT hormones if they're going to compete, right? Because they recognize it as a performance enhancing drug. But the innate differences are still there. They can't be permanently eliminated. And so of course men have an advantage. Like it's such outright denial of reality that it's hard to really respond to.
Yeah, no, it is. And there's more we can get to, but we are out of time for today. I appreciate your time. Great job on that video you put together, Bill. Really great stuff. I just retweeted it and people should definitely follow you on X at @band_Bill and check out Newsbusters. Check out the Media Research Center. Go to MRC.org and follow them on social media as well. Keep up the good work, my friend. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks a bunch. Good luck with the Batman thing.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
No, really. It's all I got to do is just say it. I'm Batman. All right. Okay. So the big story of the hour brought to you by our buddy, Dr. Mike Vanaria of VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VanariaDental.com, with two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. There's also a clip of Speaker Mike Johnson reminding us that Joe Biden said he didn't remember signing the liquid natural gas export ban. We'll talk about that. The consequences of this are huge, I think. Gavin Newsom, once again, trying to rehabilitate himself, but failing miserably at rehabilitating himself because he's such a snake and a chameleon. And the guy is so full of it. You can see him coming a mile away. The ultimate con artist. We'll talk about that as well. It's a big Monday here. Don't go away.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Yeah, baby. It's great to be with you today. It is Monday, kicking off a new week. Great to have you here with us. A lot to get to this hour. We may hear from the president at some point. I'm not quite sure about that, but I do know this. If we do, we'll take it live for you. That I know, okay? That I do know. The other thing with regards to the whole what is a woman thing, it is, I think the other day was International Women's Day or something like that. And you know, isn't it funny how quickly people do become biologists and know what a woman is? How quickly that happens. Like His Royal Ruggedness, King Philip the Unaccountable, Murphy, who tweeted out the other day about International Women's Day and all the things he's done for women. And I just retweeted that and I said, in addition to being a monarch, he's also a biologist, apparently. So that's the thing about this whole thing that I just still can't figure this out. You know what I mean? Still can't figure this out. All right, fine. Fair enough. We have a clip of Speaker Mike Johnson. So this whole issue of the auto pen is a big deal. It really is. It scares me to think about who is really in charge of our country. It really scares me to think that it wasn't the president of the United States of America. It was other people. And who were these people? And just how far did it go in terms of allowing this to happen? So, Matt, I don't know what number this is, or is this something you just have?
Yeah, it's just a loose clip.
Okay, cool. Well, we like loose clips. We like loose women, too. Speaking of which, AOC and Anna Paulina Luna are teaming up. Not in the perverted way you think, Jimmy Fallon. No, Anna Paulina Luna and AOC are teaming up to join together in battling credit card interest rates, which is a bad idea to cap credit card interest rates. But I'll get into that in just a moment. Here's Speaker Mike Johnson. Take a listen.
Sir, why did you pause LNG exports to Europe? Like, I don't understand, you know, liquefied natural gas is in great demand by our allies. Why would you do that? Because you understand.
Are we having audio issues, DeSantis? DeSantis!
You couldn't hear it?
What'd you hear, Justin? I was very low.
All I heard was an ad.
Yeah.
An ad? Interesting.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. Was that one of those ads for like the chat room? You know what I mean? With the, all your dreams will come true.
I don't know. All I heard was Mike Johnson. I don't hear anything else.
All right. Why don't you send that to us so we can play it? Cause whatever else you're playing on your browser, I might've bled through.
Wait, listen to it. But I'm going to play it again. I have no idea what is even, there's nothing else even up on this Dell. Hang on. Listen again.
Sir, why did you pause LNG exports to Europe? Like, I don't understand. You know, liquefied natural gas is in great demand by our allies. Why?
Could you hear Mike Johnson there?
Yeah, but that's all we heard.
Oh, well, I can keep playing it.
Oh, okay. All right. Go ahead. Keep playing it.
All right. Here we go.
It's also very low. Can you turn it up?
LNG export.
That's cranked to the moon.
You know, liquefied natural gas is in great demand by our allies.
There you go.
Why would you do that? Because you understand, we just talked about Ukraine. You understand you're fueling Vladimir Putin's war machine because they got to get their gas from him, you know. And he looks at me stunned with this, and he said, I didn't do that. And I said, Mr. President, yes, you did. It was an executive order, like, you know, 3 weeks ago. And he goes, no, I didn't do that. And he's arguing with me. I said, Mr. President, respectfully, could I go out here and ask your secretary to print it out? We'll read it together. You definitely did that. And he goes, oh, you talk about natural gas. Yes, sir. He said, no, you misunderstand. He said, what I did is I signed this thing to, we're gonna conduct a study on the effects of LNG. I said, no, you're not, sir. You paused it. I know. I have the terminal, the export terminals in my state. I talked to those people this morning. This is doing massive damage to our economy, national security. It occurred to me, Barry, he was not lying to me. He genuinely did not know what he had signed. And I walked out of that meeting with fear and loathing because I thought, we're in serious trouble. Who is running the country? Like, I don't know who put the paper in front of him, but he didn't know.
Okay, so two points there, Mr. Speaker, with all due respect. Why didn't you immediately call for the president to be removed from office? This is what I don't understand. If you really had the president tell you that he didn't remember doing something that consequential, and it's very possible, then one day when we're all walking around like Jason Robard in the day after, it's like, you ordered a nuclear strike on Germany. He's like, I didn't do that. No, you did. You really did. And I did? You did. So why didn't you call for the president to be removed from office? Why? And the problem is that what we'll never know with Joe Biden is, did he not remember that he did that, or did he not do it? And I don't know. And I'm telling you right now, we'll never know the answer to that, because it'll be as part of the cover up. This is how this plays out. Oh, let me just give Opelka a shout out. You know, Mike Opelka, who is the host of Daybreak with Mike Opelka, which is a morning show on Fox News Radio in Florida. His ratings, I mean, the dude is killing it. Holy cow. Like, his ratings are so strong that it's very possible his ego is going to get even bigger, DeSantis, and he'll refuse to fill in for me. That's how good his ratings are. This guy's got a 7 share in his market. Are you there, DeSantis?
I'm here.
Oh my God! You want to play along? You want to listen to the show? You want to engage in the show?
Yeah, you know, you said that there were ads playing, and now I'm trying to sort out what actually.
You know,
like,
go back to watching your shows. I feel like you're watching your soap operas or something. Like, you're like my grandmother sitting there watching your shows.
I'm not watching soap operas. I'm listening to the program, and I'm trying to figure out why that clip didn't air properly the first time.
Oh, I think I got a headache. Justin, he's got a 7 share in Florida in his market.
I mean, I'm incredibly proud of Stunt Brain. He is a fantastic host, and he deserves it.
Yeah, but in the key demo too, which is the one that you want, which is that 25-54 demo that everybody cares about. He's got close to a 6 share of the market, which is huge.
God, really?
Yeah, those are like big deal numbers. Now, granted, he's paying everyone he knows to participate in the research for these ratings, but still, that's a big deal. So good for him. Congratulations. what was I gonna, yeah, so all right, so Speaker Johnson doesn't know, but here's how the cover, the reason why I brought Opelka up was with the transgender issue is he said, let's connect the dots on the transgender thing. Check this out. And the statement that the left is making now, Dylan Mulvaney, The View, Adam Schiff, the woman who did the response speech at the joint address to Congress the other night, and other Democrats have all been told to say that the transgender numbers are so minuscule, it's insignificant. They're all speaking the same talking points. And then they're all talking about this being a local community issue. So that's the other part about this, too, that I think is hilarious. This idea of a local community issue, the people that want consolidated federal power on everything. But on this issue, they want it to be left up to the local community. It's just it's adorable. I don't know why it is that this issue keeps causing Democrats so much political pain if you are dealing with such a minuscule number of people. Because you've got Gavin Newsom flip-flopping around like he's a fish that just got caught on the docks of San Diego he doesn't know which way to go on this issue. And John Fetterman's doing the same thing. And the only thing I keep thinking of is, if it is a minuscule population, somebody in that population has pictures of these people with sheep or something. I can't figure it out, because they keep killing themselves politically over an issue that apparently, I'm told, is such a minuscule number of people that it actually affects. So they won't come out and they won't defend women. They won't come out and say what science says, which is that there are men and there are women. Look, I can tell you, I can sit here on the show all day and tell you that I'm a man who doesn't get injured. I can say that. It doesn't make it true. I fell off my scooter last night and fell on my left knee. So now I had to ice my left knee while I was icing my right leg. I know you're sick of hearing about my leg. Fine. I won't talk about my leg. But on the way to Fox News this morning, the driver was helping me with my crutches when I got out and, you know, to do the interview on Fox News. I know you're sick of hearing about that, too. Fine. OK. But the point is this. If this is such a minuscule issue, why do Democrats keep killing themselves politically on it? Really, if it's a small number of the population, what is this about? See, Gavin Newsom talks to Charlie Kirk. And again, I like Charlie Kirk. I'm not trying to take shots at him. My goal is not to do that. But I'm saying here, it is a mistake to normalize these people. Please don't do it. And I'm worried about the fact that since Gavin Newsom is now number 7 on the podcast charts, that more MAGA influencers are going to want to sit down with him, thinking that they can win the debate or win the argument, but he'll say whatever he wants the other person to hear, and then he'll come back and unsay it later. And so what we're going to wind up doing, whoever goes on that podcast is going to help normalize this guy and make him seem like a down-to-earth guy. And then when he goes to the other constituency, he's going to go back and talk on the other side of his mouth, because that's what happens here. And this is a deliberate thing. He tells Charlie Kirk one thing, then he goes back and he flip-flops on that, and he says that's not really what he means. And then it causes more problems, because then you have other Democrats coming out and blasting him for it. So if this is such a minuscule population, why does it still become such an issue that Democrats are willing to literally now lose on this issue? I can't figure this out. I really can't. I can't figure this out. What I would say is that given the Jersey/Philly political way, is that they're being blackmailed. But blackmailed by who? Like, is there some transgender Dr. Evil that has pictures on all these people? Because, again, if we're talking about less than 1% of the population, then Democrats would be wise to turn around and stand with the 99% of the population that isn't transgender and say, we stand with women and we don't want dudes in their locker rooms. It's not that complicated. It's a winning issue. They say they're the party of women. Here's Representative Ro Khanna, who also is in California, vehemently disagreeing and saying that Gavin Newsom's full of it because he signed a law allowing trans kids to participate in sports. Cut 18.
Rachel Badover, Politico, writes this, quote, why the hell has it taken this long for a high-profile Democrat to say what most people in the country are thinking? She goes on to note, a January New York Times Ipsos poll found 79% of the public believe trans athletes should not play in women's sports, including a whopping 67% of Democrats. Now, a post that you made on X sounds like you might disagree with where Governor Newsom is on this. You've urged your party to get more in line with America, where they are on the issues. So what about this one?
Well, Shannon, you know I'm always a straight shooter, so I'll tell you where I stand. I know many of your viewers will disagree with it, but I was perplexed by the governor, because he supported, Governor Newsom supported, along with Jerry Brown, a law in California in 2013 that's been on the books for 10 years. And that law says that trans kids do get to participate in sports, K-12, and we have a California intercollegiate federation that sets the standards to balance the inclusion of trans kids with fairness and safety. And so I guess I didn't understand what the governor was saying. And for a decade, he's supported this law. It's still the law on the books. Is he saying we need to repeal that law? I believe that law has worked in California.
Okay, I can answer the question for you. It's because Gavin Newsom is full of... That's why. Okay? Because he'll say one thing to Charlie Kirk and then something else to somebody else, and then he'll do one thing and say the other. That's why. It's not that complicated. The guy is completely and utterly full of it. The San Francisco Chronicle wrote an op-ed saying that the right will never love you. No, he's not. He doesn't care. He doesn't want the right to love them. What he's hoping for is that guys like Charlie Kirk and others will make moderate, independent-minded people in this country think Gavin Newsom's not as bad as all the other crazies that are out there. That's the goal. And I'm telling you, he is the crazy that's out there. So, yeah, no, it's not about winning them over. He doesn't expect to have Charlie Kirk's endorsement in 2028. But maybe the moderate suburban moms who voted for Trump over Kamala Harris might vote for him in 2028, because they go, well, you know, the Democrat Party is pretty nuts, but I don't know. This Newsom guy seemed to me to be like he's kind of normal, right? He's kind of normal. I heard him on this podcast the other day, and he was saying he wants to protect my daughter in sports. So, yeah, I mean, no, that's completely what this guy's goal is. Absolutely 100%. 100%. But he's not the only one who wants those suburban moms in jean shorts to think he's all right and to forget about all the crazy things he did. Because Andrew Cuomo, the love gov, oh, he also wants to be that guy too. So he's got a new campaign ad out here that he put out called Experience in Crisis Matters. And I just think it is hilarious that the nursing home killer, literally the nursing home killer, was able to put out an ad claiming that his experience is why he should become mayor of New York City. So we're going to share that with you. It's visual. So if you have not yet hopped on our YouTube chat, please do so. And let me say hi to my friend Agatha, who's streaming on YouTube, but doesn't know how to log into the chat and chat along. So if the YouTube community could let Agatha know, we welcome her to the show. We're so glad she's watching, but she wants to chat along. She doesn't know how. So I said, when I saw her Saturday night at a birthday party, I said, you know what? We'll do this. Let's, not mine, but somebody else's. I said, we'll have the YouTube chat group tell you how to do it, okay? So that you can figure that out and go from there, okay? And we'll see if that works out. Very good. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Emmons Roofing and Siding, my great friends at Emmons, they are the real deal. 10% off inflation relief discount for each and every one of my listeners. 10% off roofing, siding, Anderson windows, doors, and so much more. What are you waiting for? Reach out to Emmons today. They're the real deal, and they get the job done right. In fact, Matt and Stephanie, my great friends, they understand just how important it is for you to get the job done right. And they serve Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware, and the Jersey Shore. Your home will not only look better from the curb, but it'll be able to withstand the elements, and you'll love the renovation work too. In fact, Emmons has a bathroom remodeling division. They remodeled the bathroom in the old house. Every step of the process was great. They took care of everything from helping us pick out the tile to helping us pick out the fixtures, all of it. So reach out to Emmons today. Tell them I sent you. 10% off inflation relief discount for each and every one of my listeners. Just go to emmonsroofing.com. E-M-M-O-N-S, emmonsroofing.com. From roofing to windows to bathroom remodeling, kitchen designs, and so much more, Emmons is your truly one-stop shop for all things for your home. emmonsroofing.com.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Yeah, baby. Seed oils. It's a big topic of conversation. Bobby Kennedy today meeting with the big food groups. I'll talk about that a little bit later in the show as well. One more thing on this this AutoPen cognitive decline scandal around Joe Biden. The other part of this, too, that I think is really worth noting is that Joe Biden, as president of the United States of America, was a complete and utter disaster that Kamala Harris easily could have distanced herself from. Any Democrat could have distanced themselves from, but they refused to do so. And I think a big part of the reason why they refused to do so is because they were all scared to death that they would be complicit in this cover up. You're telling me that all these Democrat politicians, people like Gavin Newsom, didn't know that Biden had lost his friggin' mind? You're telling me that, like, if they had gone with Newsom, for example, You're gonna see, was he gonna go out there and throw him under the bus and say, yeah, you know what, you're right, I spent a lot of time with him, and it was very obvious that this president was not up to the job. He couldn't do the job, because then that brings up the point of, well, then why should he remain in office? See, it was the ultimate catch 22 for them. If they acknowledge Biden's cognitive decline, then everybody has to say the obvious part out loud, which is, how long was this going on? Who is really running the country? And should this guy remain president? I mean, my God, if he doesn't remember the fact that we had a liquid natural gas export ban that he put in place, what other things did Joe Biden do that he doesn't remember that would make legitimate people call this out and be terrified of who's running their country and then automatically vote for the other party, no matter who's in there, just for their own safety and security? That's the point. That's why they had to do this massive cover-up. And then the other thing, too, is that whoever was really running the country and signing all these executive orders and doing everything else, I mean, who knows what they had in everybody else? Because they didn't want to give that up. They had the ultimate tool. They had a president who wasn't aware of his surroundings. That's number one. And number two, they had a pen. He's like, but remember when Obama said, I got a pen and I got a phone? They had the pen. So they could sign anything they wanted. Let's see. Larry is in Southampton. Larry, my man, happy Monday. You're on Talk Radio 1210. What's up, Larry?
Yes. Next time that you're up on Fox News, you got to ask one of your partners up there, one of the law experts, and just see why they can't have a lawsuit against all the people that were present in the room when he supposedly signed all these executive orders and pardons and all that, just to question them in front of Congress or as a lawsuit, and see who spills the beans, and subpoena all of them.
Yeah, it's a great point, right? You could have a congressional investigation into this. You could have an investigative committee, call all these White House people there. The problem is they're all going to invoke executive privilege and not say anything, and will one of them be brave enough to come forward and then basically say that they were, you know, they were complicit in a crime? I don't know, you know, but I say either way, Congress should investigate this 100%.
How did they get like Mark Meadows and all those people in the White House to speak other than subpoena them? But they got all to come forward and be get truthful them. And not take executive privilege, they set an example then, I guess.
Either way, but they should go forward with it, Larry, and I agree with you 100%. And let's see if they'll act on it.
You know, next time you're on Fox, which, you know, tomorrow or the next day or whenever you're on Fox again. Probably have them on speed dial by now.
Well done. Well done, my man. I appreciate it. Thank you, buddy. And I'll give a shameless plug that tomorrow I'll be on Newsmax at 11:30. So you can tune into that if you're around. All right. Shameless. It's shameless. I like what Larry did there. Earl's in Tacony. Earl, I thought you were only allowed legally to call Dom show.
I'm no longer caller of the year. I resigned. So, and I missed today's show. So I had my one free call and,
I don't know if you resigned. Rumor was there was a coup and they pushed you out. Similar to Biden. He didn't know he was not running until he saw the letter that he put out.
Yeah, that's pretty much how it happened for the most part. But they didn't let me in on it until it was too late. But that's how it happened.
Sorry to hear that.
Real quick, when it comes out to natural gas, my family makes money off of natural gas. So we're in an area where they have gas wells. And when Trump was in office, we were making a certain amount of money. The money was cut in half under Biden. And after Trump got reelected, the amount of money doubled again. So for the people that are making natural gas, they're making more money because of the lift of the export ban.
Well, there you go. I mean, that's good. That's the way it should be. It's a great driver for our economy and for jobs. And I want to see liquid natural gas export facilities built right here in Pennsylvania.
Now, I didn't know you were talking about Dylan Mulvaney and Bud Light. I didn't know if you wanted a Bud Light song. I already did it for Opelka once, and I didn't know if you're a huge fan of Kajagoogoo, but if you're interested in having a Bud Light song.
You know, every time I take your call, I instantly regret it. This is no exception, but go ahead.
All right. Bud Light had a plan to duet with a man who thinks he's a woman. In his world, he thinks that he's a girl. What can go wrong? That's not a girl. Take a little closer now. Oh, well, Bud Light died. This looks woman is a guy. Well, Bud Light died, like Elisa Heiner tried. Bud Light died, such woman is a guy. Oh, Bud Light died, dead Bud. Matt appreciates it. I want to know why you didn't ask me to do a Dastardly Deeds. Why you asked Opelka?
Yeah, you know, you're right. You're right. Would you do a Dastardly Deeds for us? Would you create that for us?
Sure, I can do that. Okay. I just didn't feel like doing research on Al Green if I didn't have to. So no, I'll get into the research and I'll write something up for you.
Thank you, Earl. And we will all be patiently waiting for that. So take your time. There's no rush. All right?
Oh, no, there's no rush. He's dead.
No, not that Al Green. Earl, one in Congress is not dead.
All right. Good talking to you, Rich.
Yo, it was my pleasure, Earl. Really, let's do this again sometime.
I'm glad I disappointed you as always.
Thank you, Earl. every time. Now he's found, he's like a stray dog. It's like, you know, he left Dom's house and now he's trying to get it to mine. You know what I mean?
I hope he comes back.
I know you do. Yeah. Well, that audio, his audio, as terrible as that song was, and it was pretty bad, it was still better than the audio you played from Hank Johnson. So, Speaker Mike Johnson.
I heard it sounded fine on the stream. So I don't know what you guys heard. It must have been looped. I have no idea. I don't know how that board works in there. I'm an idiot. But it sounded fine, thankfully.
Well, on that, we all agree. We got the Z's going on the YouTube chat. Look at that. That is funny. Funny, funny stuff. Yeah, my temper tantrum on Friday, my cabin fever temper tantrum. I did get out a little bit this weekend, which was nice. But then I fell, so now, you know, I have to be back inside again.
Wait, did you actually fall? I thought you were joking.
No, I really did. I was on my scooter, and I tripped over something, and I went flying off the scooter and landed on my left knee. And then my knee last night blew up like a friggin' balloon.
You're going to end up in a body cast.
Seriously. No, really. I'm Mr. Glass. Like, remember the M. Night Shyamalan movie? Mr. Glass, Samuel Jackson. Yeah. Yep. That's me. That's basically me. It's no doubt about it. I should just at this point not leave the house. And I have an ankle monitor now, too. So, all right. We got 30 minutes of nonstop talk for you. I'll show you on the YouTube stream when I get back. I'll show my ankle monitor. 30 minutes of nonstop talk straight ahead for you. Don't go away.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.